So I'll get started right away. Again, thanks a lot for joining us. I know we're the last session between some good drinks and dinner, so we really, really appreciate you guys coming over to listen to what we have to say. So the session today is about, you know, how do you basically get your apps in front of 100 million business users with AppSource, Power Apps, CDS, Microsoft Flow, and all that goodness. So my name is Satish Thomas. I'm the Group Program Manager for Microsoft AppSource, and we'll get into it right away. Okay? So a quick show of hands, how many people have heard of AppSource before they came to this conference? Okay, good. You guys, I'm hoping. Good. So hopefully, after today's session, you'll get to know a lot more, and more importantly, the value and how you guys can kind of tap into it. So you've probably heard this, this statement in the keynote, but essentially, the gist of it is Microsoft, across our first-party products like Office 365, Dynamics 365, the Power Suite of services, we've got over 100 million-plus active monthly users. And one of the biggest things as an ISV, when you build applications, the ultimate goal is to make sure that you get more users and you have better business outcomes. So as Microsoft, we've been spending a lot of time basically thinking through, how do we get a great app built by folks like you in front of our users and basically make that connection happen? Okay? So we'll tell you a lot about how do we make this real, and more importantly, how you guys can get involved. So we're gonna go over four key things. We'll have various kind of subsections to this, but the first thing at the forefront is basically, if you have a SaaS application or if you build an add-on for one of our first-party SaaS applications, which is Office 365, Dynamics 365, Power BI, et cetera, all you need to do is enable AAD Federated, Azure AD Federated SSO, and then you're able to onboard onto AppSource, okay? And get in front of all of those millions of users. However, unless you've been living under a rock, you know that there's a lot more that our platform has to offer, by, for example, by deeply integrating your app with Microsoft users through Power BI, Power Apps, and Flow. And then you can go beyond, basically enrich your SaaS apps by using embedded Power BI, and a lot of the other embedded experiences. And more, you know, and further down, basically, you can enrich, make your apps smarter, by bringing the customer data with your app data, using the common data service. So we're gonna go through this in rapid-fire fashion. There's a lot of content, so we'll kind of keep rolling. And we'll obviously have a Q&A at the end of this. Okay? So the one I'm gonna focus through is the first one. So since this is a very dev-focused IT crowd, typically, we wanna make sure that, you know, there's an understanding of, you know, obviously, you might have heard of Azure Marketplace, which is our marketplace targeted at developers. So if you want a VM, if you want an API, that's the place to go, okay? But if you're a business end user, AppSource is the place to come. So basically, if you're somebody in marketing, somebody in sales, somebody in HR looking for a SaaS application or an application, AppSource is the place where we get them to and hopefully surface your apps up. So that distinction is obviously super important. So think of, you know, a lot of you might know the Azure portal. So the primary discovery point for Azure Marketplace is the Azure portal, but AppSource, the discovery point is obviously appsource.com and all of our first-party applications target business end users. Yes. Correct.
If I go into the App Store and search for something, it searches AppSource and also searches, I think, Azure and the App Store, right?
So yes, all of the apps, like all the Office Store apps, are now discoverable through AppSource. So AppSource become-
Maybe Ed Store, Team Store, now Mobile Store?
That's yes. Everything out, everything Office related, that ecosystem is gonna get pulled into AppSource.
So
Yeah. So we'll walk through a few demos, but essentially, AppSource is two things. One is you've got appsource.com, but even within the first-party experiences. So when I go to Dynamics 365 and say, "Get apps," essentially, you see AppSource contextual to that user. So think of it as multiple sockets for AppSource across all of these products, right? But very good question. And again, that's something that we feel is a differentiator for us because, you know, building another store is not the issue. It's basically, how do we get you into more sockets where our users are? So very quickly, You might have seen the slide before, but this is essentially the entire business applications platform and services that we provide. And as you can see, across Office 365, Power BI, Cortana Intelligence, IoT, Dynamics 365, and more importantly, your SaaS applications that you build, AppSource becomes that place where you can reach all of our end users. And the bare minimum to get into AppSource is 80 Federated SSO, but obviously you can use a lot more of our stack, such as Power Apps, Power BI, CDS, and of course, bare metal Azure infrastructure, right? So you'll see this as a framing that we talk about as we walk through the rest of the session. So going back to AppSource, we launched AppSource about 10 months and 2 weeks ago, but hey, who's counting? At WPC last year, right? It's been a short 10 months, and we built AppSource to be the destination for business end users across our Microsoft products and Microsoft Enterprise users to come to find, try, and provision business applications. And obviously, at the other end of it, you've got ISVs and developers such as yourself that are building apps that would love to get in front of these end users, right? And obviously, for business applications, it's never click, 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 buy. There's always an SI or somebody that's helping the customer put together multiple solutions. So we also have an SI story that is lit up through AppSource, okay? So key thing. If you look at AppSource, it's appsource.com, which is the most direct way you can get it, quickly log in and get apps. But the contextual in-app experiences is where we find a lot of these connections being made. And I'll show you in a demo in terms of, you know, when using Dynamics 365 or Office, when you say get apps, you essentially see AppSource apps contextual to you. So think about that for a second. If you're a salesperson using Dynamics, the set of apps relevant for you might be different from something else, right? So a lot of that contextual recommendations are possible with what we've built here. Very quickly, you know, you can bring all the end users in the world, but you also need apps on the other side. So as of today, we have about 2,300 applications across Dynamics 365. So these are business process applications, Power BI, Office 365, and Cortana Intelligence. And you can assume that every day, a lot of these things are getting lit up more and more. Okay? So I wanted to show you what this looks like in real life. So before that, humor me for a little bit. So typically as developers and folks with a heavy developer background, in a lot of cases, the apps we built are applicable to business users, right? So think about a banking application. So you walk into a Bank of America or Citibank. As soon as you walk in, they would love to, this application allows you to collect some information about them, either explicitly through entering data or through other means. And then once you enter some of that data, through explicit or implicit means that they get the data. As soon as you go in front of a teller, this application tells you what the next best action is. So if you bought a house last week, I'm not gonna try to sell you a mortgage. Sounds like a very simple, obvious thing, but across millions of customers, this is something that are missed opportunities for banks. So these guys have actually gone and built an application built on Azure, leverages Dynamics 365 integration, uses Power BI, embedded Power Apps, et cetera. But forget about the technology behind it for a second and just think about that business end user experience for a second. So for that, I'm gonna switch to a quick demo. So you can all try this at home. We've made it train monkey simple, meaning it is super, super easy. So all you need to go to do is go to appsource.com and you notice here that I'm logged in with my AD login. Okay, so this means that every Office 365 user, every D365 user, and everybody else who's using Azure AD just comes in and uses that ID. So if you have Hotmail, Gmail, that doesn't work. And there's a lot of scenarios that we can enable through this, right? We know your role, we know other usage information, so we can really get you the right apps in front of you. And more importantly to your question, if I go to Office, within Office, every Office 365 user can click on Store. There's other entry points into the store that all land into AppSource as well. This is D365. I can click Get Apps, and I can see all of these apps. So these are contextual to me. You can see that I'm logged in as myself that show up. So you've got thousands of apps, millions of people, and unless we show the most applicable apps to the people, then everything becomes just a sea, right? What was that? Context is multiple things. One is the product that they're using. There's other aspects. So that's the most basic one. The other things is things like role, things like industry that becomes super important. Okay? So now let's go and try this VeriPark app. I'm going to zoom through this in the interest of time. So VeriPark is, like I said, a business application that's targeted at banks. It's called Next Best Action. And again, I love doing demos for AppSource because I don't need to prepare anything. So this is something that I'm logged in as myself. I can go click a free trial. Now, if you notice here, as soon as I click free trial, I'm going to send a lead into the CRM system of the ISV. So we support Salesforce, CRM, Marketo, whatever you use. And at that point, you can nurture that user as well. Okay? But there's obviously explicit approval that we need from the end user before we can do that. And think about this. I could be a bank manager in Redmond or Seattle for a bank just trying this out. Okay? So at this point, it's basically VeriPark is a multi-tenant SaaS service that has a Dynamics extension. So the tellers that sit in these banks are usually, their front end is Dynamics 365 with a VeriPark plugin. Okay? However, there's somebody sitting in the headquarters that actually needs to see a full view about saying, hey, customers in the Pacific Northwest doing more than in the East Coast, right? So this is a multi-tenant SaaS service. And look at this. Even if I don't know much about banking, it's actually guiding me through how to use the app. Okay? And this is the real app loaded up with a sample bank data. Okay? And this is the real application. So whether I sell you a credit card, et cetera, is based on a lot of information here that they already know about you. So they've got that piece. And let's go back into the CRM instance. So every teller, when you go to a teller, what they're sitting behind it, this, behind using is Dynamics CRM, in the case that customers use this. And you can see what that looks like. You can see what that teller experience looks like in CRM. Okay? And rarely is an application just a SaaS application, right? They always have tentacles into other integrations and more. So this shows you what that Dynamics 365 integration looks like, logged in as myself. Okay? So this is what the teller gets to see. And again, even if I had zero knowledge about CRM, I can quickly learn what this application does. And this is not demo or videos. This is the real application. And then obviously, if I'm sitting somewhere and I want to see insights, hey, what's happening across the board? In this case, it's beautiful insights, but guess what? It's using Power BI Embedded. Okay? And then one, in the interest of time, and the last thing I'll show is the way VeriPark has enabled collection of prospect information is using Power Apps. Okay? So this is the Power BI Power Apps embedded experience that you're seeing here that enables that. So think about that for a second. Within 5 seconds, I was able to try the app, and very quickly, I can walk through extensively what this app does. And in a lot of cases, if I'm not impressed by now, I'm not going to go ahead with the app. But if I'm impressed by the extensibility and the comprehensiveness of this app, hopefully VeriPark gets a new user. Okay? So hopefully that gives you a taste. But think about it. If as an ISV, you can enable these compelling experiences, you will get a lot more users trying your app at the top of the funnel, and hopefully you can convert a lot of these guys across. Okay? So I'm going to zoom through this. So what I showed you there is essentially a test drive experience. So one of the things that AppSource obviously is, you know, you could call it a marketplace or a distribution platform. So one of the things we enable you to do is also build compelling test drives as I showed you here. Okay? So you might be a multi-tenant SaaS service with a Power BI component, with a Dynamics component, with a Cortana Intelligence template. So we allow you to package it, and we allow you to enable a test drive and publish it on AppSource. So I'm not going to go through the hands-on details of this, but we do have a Channel 9 session that went live today that shows you the gory details of how you can enable AD Federated SSO and how you can all the way take that to building a compelling test drive to publishing it live on AppSource. Okay? With that, I'm going to hand off to Tessa to talk about the second piece, which is how you can leverage, you know, all the Power Suite of services for your apps.
Great. Thank you.
Take it away.
So at this point, we're going to dive into, similar from the business application platform, into a couple of the specific services that are showing up there. So how many people are familiar with Power BI, Power Apps, or Flow? Okay, great. So you might have seen it before maybe as being actual users of those services. We're going to talk a little bit about how you can integrate and develop and build on top of those services. So if you aren't familiar with them, Power BI is all about self-service business analytics. Power Apps is a way for end users to quickly and easily build no-code applications. And Microsoft Flow allows you to build workflows and automate interactions between services for business users as well. So all three are focused on that business user persona that Satish mentioned as well. So how do you integrate with these services? We usually talk about two main categories. One we actually announced last summer, building a Power BI content pack. So there's been a program out that I'll talk a little bit more about on how to connect and actually build a content pack for your service. Another one is around building a connector and bringing the data from your service and the interactions, the actions, right into Flow and Power Apps as well. So diving a little bit more into what each of these things are. So what is a content pack? A Power BI content pack is a set of out-of-box content, so a dashboard, a report, a data set, that gives your users immediate insights to information that's from your service without them having to do any of the hard work of building or modeling or creating a dashboard. So just with a couple of clicks of a button, they get a dashboard such as this Adobe Analytics dashboard, which is an actual example of one of our content packs. So right now we have over 95 content packs and we're releasing them every week. And we're really excited to see how that ecosystem keeps growing. So onto the next opportunity to integrate, we talk about connectors. So connectors are wrappers around REST APIs or APIs that a service exposes that end users can connect to. And the reason connectors are interesting because it allows users to connect to other services that they're using without you having to build a native integration into your own platform. We also support connectivity to on-prem data sources, which makes the really interesting hybrid scenarios possible as well. And we have over 130 connectors today and actually releasing more and more every day. Today, we released two new connectors, including the Microsoft Teams connector and the Planner connector based off of the Graph API. So now that you know a little bit more about what these things are that you can build and integrate with, we'll talk about how you can actually do it, and then I'll hop into a demo that gives you a real-life example. So developing a Power BI content pack. It's very straightforward. If you've ever used Power BI, you've probably used many of the pieces that are within a content pack. So you actually author most of it in the Power BI desktop. You use PowerBI.com to build that rich dashboard and to kind of finalize the report that you've built. And then you can submit it for certification through AppSource. So if you remember anything from this slide on content packs, it's that AKMS link. So aka.ms/cpdevdocs will give you the full overview of how to get started, tips and tricks to build it, as well as how to certify it. So in addition, in a Power BI content pack, to having that nice visuals, sometimes you also need extra connectivity or a special type of connector that makes that content pack possible. This is where we talk about our data connectors, and we're really excited today to announce the preview of the data connector SDK. It's hosted on GitHub, so if you go to aka.ms/data connectors, I tried to make these all, you know, easy to remember links, but if you go to this site, it'll bring you right to that GitHub repo with the README again about how to get started, how to use the connector, and all the different benefits that it can offer. Oh, wrong computer. So the last bit that I'm going to talk about is an API connector. And the difference between a data connector and an API connector is really how rich and deep the connector is. So when we talk about Power BI and data connectors, we talk about, you know, large tabular data sets, relationships, filtering, all that good stuff. API connectors are much more lightweight and are focused on the types of actions and triggers that you might see within Microsoft Flow and also within Power Apps as well. So we had a preview of the certification program a couple months ago. Now it's up and rolling. If you go to aka.ms/API connectors, there was a great announcement about it this morning as well. So if you have a publicly accessible REST API, and you use one of our supported authentication types, you can really quickly build a connector within Flow or Power Apps and submit it to us for certification. And we will release it and publish it across all of to all of our users as well. And with that, I'm going to jump in and spend the rest of the time showing you actually how to build one of these connectors and show you how easy it is. OK, great. So here I am. I'm in Flow, and this is in production as well. So if you haven't used Flow before, it's free to sign up. And if you're a user of Flow, you might be more familiar with the options that are on kind of the left side of things, so your flows and services and that type of thing. Today I'm going to show you something that's on the right hand under that gear called custom connectors. Custom connectors are also available in Power Apps, and they're a way for you to build a connector to your own service that's just accessible within your tenant. So think of a custom connector as a shared version just to yourself of a public connector. So this is what we use to develop and get started before you bring it to Microsoft to get certified. So I can start by clicking Create a Connector, and I'm prompted to choose one of the few ways that I want to get started. So all of our connectors are based off of an open API or Swagger definition. If you already have a Swagger file, great, you can upload it right from here. If you have a public endpoint that you might use, you can connect to it through the URL. Or you could also start from a Postman collection. Now, in my case, I don't have any of those things. We're going to today build a very lightweight connector off of GitHub. So we're going to show you how easy it is to build against the GitHub API. Many of you may be familiar with the GitHub API or use it yourself. If not, it's so easy to get started and sign up and follow along that you can use this later for a tutorial if you want to try it out. So I'm also going to use Postman. As I mentioned, that's one of the options. If you're not familiar with Postman, it's a lightweight, free app that lets you make web requests and see web responses and that type of thing, and a whole bunch more around testing and monitoring as well. So on the GitHub documentation, it tells me, so let's say we're going to just create an issue. So it tells me the endpoint that I need to hit and some of the required parameters. Flipping over to Postman, I'm going to enter the request URL, and now I know actually you have to add the beginning, api.github.com. OK, great. And then so you see here, this is where I would change it from the owner to an actual GitHub owner. Now in my case, I actually am working towards building out an operation in Flow or Power Apps. And so I'm going to want those values to be user provided and not hard coded. So Postman actually lets you do this. If I click this handy little parameters button, you can see it's detected the specific text with the colon in front of it as a type of parameter. So it's a key value pair. So I'm going to switch this back to actually say owner and put it in as a parameter. OK, great. So now that I have the request set up in a better format, and it's going to be a post call instead of a get, I'm going to choose the authentication type. So Postman also lets you choose many different authentication types, including OAuth. I've already defined the GitHub OAuth flow and gotten a token. And so I'm going to say use this token. And then the last thing is, in order to create a new issue, I need to actually post what's in that issue. So flipping back over to the GitHub documentation, you can see they have a handy example that I'm going to copy the whole thing out of, paste it in, and I'm going to make it way easier than this, just a title and a body, and I'm going to mark it as the correct format. So here we go. We have the right URL, the right keys, access token, and the body. And with that, I'll just hit send. And now you can see it actually went and it created the bug that I just provided the right title for. It shows me the repository, who created it, all that good things, proving that it actually went out and made the request into GitHub and is confirming back the response. So really, when you think about a connector and what I want to be able to do, again, in Flow or Power Apps, I want this to show up as a top-level item, with this being one of the operations or functions that I can invoke. So I'm going to hit save. Give it a nice name. So this is really creating an issue. And then Postman has a notion of a collection, which is really a group of requests that are all set together to represent sort of one set of series that you're looking to offer. So in this case, we're going to call the collection GitHub demo and just hit save. So you can see now I have one particular request here. I can duplicate and create other ones. And I can really start building up my collection to represent all of the operations that I want to have in my connector. I can also save the response of the request. And this comes in handy when you're interacting, when your end users will be using the connector. It'll have nice names and types all set up properly for the fields that come out of the request that you're creating. Okay, so this is all saved. I have my collection, and now I'm going to export it. So you can see just in a couple minutes, I started from nothing, but I wanted to build a connector. And just like that, I could create that very first item that gets me on my way to having a connector within Flow or Power Apps. So I just upload that same Postman collection I just created. You can see it converted it into Swagger and actually pulled out the name of how I called it. You can see I've done this before, so I'll give it a name as 526 because it's currently 526. And I'll give it its own nice icon just to show you that it's mine as well. Setting the authentication type in Flow or Power Apps is very easy for custom connectors. We support basic auth API key and OAuth2. When you use OAuth2, we have a set of built-in providers that you can leverage, such as GitHub, or you can use our generic OAuth2 provider as well. Once you select one of the providers, you need to provide username and password or client ID and client secret, depending on the type that you're choosing. Any scopes if you're using OAuth, and then you can hit continue. So now I'm in the definition tab, and you can see everything that I just did in Postman has lit up here in this form. So you can see that my operation of creating an issue has shown up with the nice description that I gave it as well. And in addition to what I said in Postman, I also have some new options that are specific extensions to make it work a little bit better in our product. So for example, I can mark it as important, and that'll make it show up a little bit higher in the UI. I can scroll down further to see the actual request, so you can see this is the owner in the repository, and do a couple additional things, such as delete parameters that I don't need, or mark other parameters as internal or required, and tweak some of the experience that I did from my development environment into what I'm ultimately gonna get towards my connector and my production environment. So once this looks good, I can hit create a connector. At this point, it's going to take that Swagger definition that I've just built and imported from my Postman collection. It's going to register it within my Flow and Power Apps tenant. Initially, it's only visible to me, but I can choose to share it with anyone else in my organization. And then I can use it within the Flows and Power Apps that I'm going to be building on top of it. So if I flip over, you saw it was created. Flip over to Power Apps quickly, and I hit refresh on my connections page. It'll actually show up in the list, along with all of the other connectors that we support. So these custom connectors show up in line with the connectors as well. So you can see here, and I hit refresh again, that it shows up in that list. So now that I've created the connector, I'm going to test it out. I can start by creating a connection. In this case, I'm actually signed into GitHub in the browser, and because the OAuth is going to kick in, it's actually going to just approve it and close it back down, give me a fresh access token that I can make the calls into the individual requests with. You can see my create an issue again is here. I have the default parameters, which I can change and customize, and now the new parameters that I want to add in for this particular operation. So we can say new bug, test UI, title and body, and then I can hit test the operation. And at this point, it's actually taking that definition that I built back in Postman, have now translated into Swagger and registered it within Flow and Power Apps, and gone through that full system back out to GitHub and made that same API call and showing me back the response. Now, if I made a mistake or did something I wasn't, so for example, a repository that doesn't exist, that same call would fail and would tell me the types of information I need in order to go back and fix my connector. So the connector's been built. I have my initial set of operations defined. In this case, I only have one operation, but you can really easily go back into the connector and add anything in the definition, so I can add new actions, or I can also add triggers. So we support webhook triggers that you can define in the same way, the endpoint, the operation ID, all of that different information, and it'll show up as an option with, when a user's actually consuming your connector. So if I flip over to the flows that I have today, I have one that's already going between my email and Planner. And I can say, you know, I want to add in between in this particular case. I want an add-in action that's going to create an issue when I get a specific type of mail. And these are the types of things that you can build in your workflows already. So I'm going to search for my particular connector. And I've and there we go. It shows up. You see, just in line with any of the other services that we have. So now it shows up as a new operation. And if I just zoom in a little bit, you can see create an issue to this specific repository. I can also add capabilities to the connector, such as dropdowns and more. I can choose the title, such as the subject of the email message. And then the body could say who it's from. And if I zoom back out, I can also use the outputs from my connector in subsequent steps. So here I already am creating a task. But for example, I could add, if I zoom back in, you can see here's all the outputs that actually came from the definition that I already created. So I can choose one of those to add to my task information as well. So really, as I'm building up this connector, it shows up in line with other connectors, and you can test it really thoroughly within our ecosystem. So at this point, I could actually try out the connector. So again, since it's triggered from my own email, I'll try sending myself an email. And it's going to start doing the rest of the workflow as if it was any other built-in service into our system. So you can see it actually triggered, and it'll do all of the different steps. As I keep thoroughly testing my connector and I add more and more operations to it, once it's in a good state, I can actually go back and export the connector as an artifact and submit it to Microsoft for certification. So flipping back to our slides really quickly, which talks about that certification. So once it's tested, as I mentioned, you have the connector artifacts and you reach out to us. The best way is through a new ISV site that went live today. I think Satish is gonna talk about it a little bit more. If you go to aka.ms/API connectors, you'll be able to try it out as well. And you'll see how easy it is to build a connector against your own service, just as I did on stage right now. So that was talking about how you can integrate back into Power Apps, Power BI, and Flow so that our business users can take advantage of the services that you're already providing. I'm also going to talk really quickly about opportunities around embedding some of the service capabilities back into your own products. So the first one that I'll talk about is Power BI Embedded. That's something that had gone live a while back and allows you to bring visualizations directly into your own application. And I think that was part of the Veripark demo as well. There's also opportunities for embedding around flow. So those workflows that I was mentioning can be templatized and actually embedded back into your service to make it really easy. I think we were talking about context before, where your users are and where they're trying to accomplish something. They are in that context and can apply it right away. And we're looking to expand some of these capabilities as well. So with that, we'll switch over to talking about how to make your app smarter with CDS.
Hi, everyone. That was loud. So I'm John Aluck. I'm from the Common Data Service. And we'll talk a bit right now about how to make your app smarter with customer data. And while I'm talking over here, Peter's just going to get limber. He's going to get ready for a demo. It's the end of the day. We wanted to keep you guys excited. So let's just get going. Great. So connectors. Connectors help Power Apps, Power BI, and Flow connect to your service, your data. What if your apps need to actually grab data from multiple sources? What if your customers want to build apps over data from your service and Dynamics, or multiple Dynamics services? What we're seeing out there today is most companies have this. They have some set of HR data, they have some finance data, they have some travel data. These islands of data and apps and they're all managed separately. In order for you to then go and provide, for example, self-service BI across all that, you're building sync. You're having to deploy infrastructure. And guess what? If any of one of those islands needs data from the other islands, you're also having to sync that too. And that's just a straight up mess, and it's an expensive mess. Not only that, things get stale. Things are incomplete, and your data is not secure. I've actually not stood up here while Peter runs back and forth before, and it's actually kind of, I like it, it's fun. It energizes me too. So this is where the Common Data Service comes in. Our goal here is to do the heavy lifting for you, to bring your data together. Firstly, from across Dynamics 365, from Azure AD, and soon other data sources like Office 365. Your apps now, when built on the Common Data Service, can act on that complete and consistent view of that data. You're not having to tell your users, go grab some from here, go grab some from there, and tie it all together yourself. It all just happens because the Common Data Service has an integrated data model. And now it's easy for your users and your customers to go out and create the Power BI report, create that app, and automate that workflow. The three pillars of the Common Data Service, and I promise we're getting to the demo real soon, Peter. The first is we want to be the focal point for your data. We'll do the heavy lifting to bring your data together into the Common Data Service. Once it's here, we want to be a great place for you to build and manage apps. And we'll talk about app building at depth in a second. But also managing those apps, security. A blog just went live today. We're announcing a preview of record-level security for Common Data Service. The preview program starts literally this week, and that lets you create policies so the data varies based on the user, what they can see, what they can edit, what they can create. And finally, you've got your data here. Users are building apps. Everything in the Common Data Service will just work with the rest of Microsoft. That is our promise to you. We are doing that work right now. Whether it be Microsoft Graph, and exposing CDS through that, we're working on that. And I think some of the office sessions mentioned that this morning. Other things like Microsoft Flow, Power BI, all those experiences that you need, they all just work with the data model that's in the Common Data Service. You focus on shaping your data model, and everything else just lights up. But this is a developer audience. This is a developer conference. Let's talk about building apps. So kind of going from left to right here, there's really a spectrum of experiences we support. Let's start with Power Apps. We saw in a session earlier today on the business platform overview how simple it can be to create applications, right? The rapid app experience is great with Power Apps, and it just knows how to use the Common Data Service. You saw that in the demo. The next step up here is powering up your Power Apps with Azure Functions. With an Azure Function and the C# SDK from the CDS, you can create transactions, right? You can do things like set-based operations, and Peter will talk about that as well in a moment here. You can also create full-blown rich client applications with platforms like Xamarin or your own web or multi-tenant SaaS apps. In both of those cases, the same C# SDK that's in preview starting right now is how you can build those applications. And so, as I mentioned, the blog went live today. We are in preview of the SDK. If you're interested, there's contact details in our blog on how to get enrolled. The SDK facilitates CRUD. Against everything that's in the Common Data Service. You can create, read, update, delete, and query. And this is actually the same SDK that's powering the first-party applications. There was talent engagement and workforce management. We announced those last week at our Business Forward event. But these are all slides, and that's great and good. Peter is actually going to show you how this stuff works, so I'm going to hand this over to Peter.
Alrighty, thank you very much. So could you show that slide with the next slide, please?
Yes.
All right. Excuse me, I have a terrible cough. Let's hope we'll manage anyway. So I thought I would show you a demo today on some stuff with the Common Data Service. And we've been talking a lot about data. And certainly CDS is great about data. It's sort of the focal point of what we do. But at some point, the rubber has to meet the road. And we have to actually create an invoice out of that sales order. We have to do the business logic that we need to do. And for that, we have the SDK that I am proud to represent here today with Jono. So I thought long and hard about how to illustrate this with an app. And I took a cue from one of our customers in our preview who has built a story where he monitors windmills that generate electricity. And he has tons of little IoT sensors in there that monitor the temperatures of the inner cores of these things. And he sends that to CDS and aggregates it there, and then he runs jobs over that to detect anomalies and stuff like this, which can be expensive to fix once the problem has occurred. So this is the demo that I built. So I have my band here. How many of you have bands? A few of you have them. Have they broken already? Yeah, a few times. Okay, so the band here is Bluetooth enabled. So what I did was I built an app. Could you go to one, please? Okay, I'll need to sign in again.
There we go.
So I built myself a little app. I called it Band Aid, just to be, you know, interesting. So what this will do is it will capture the, go back to the slide deck, please. Right, so this will capture the stream of data coming from the band. It'll aggregate it, it'll collect it, it'll show some interesting graphics as I go along. And it'll collect these into JSON packages that'll then be sent to an Azure function. And as it happens, Azure functions and CDS are a match made in heaven. They're really good with one another. They're very easy. This serverless architecture makes it really easy to deploy these things. It's a great story. But before we can do anything with the CDS, we have to authenticate ourselves. And by the way, this doesn't matter how you do, how you try to access your data, you have to be authenticated through Azure AAD. And the device does this. It'll reach out to Azure, get a token, and pass that in the header of the request that goes over the wire. So there's really nothing special here. So, with no further ado, number
one, right?
One, please.
All right.
All right, it's pretty ugly and there's a lot of fingers on that thing, but let's hope that we can. So I'm gonna start this guy now.
You ready to go, Peter?
In a few minutes. So this thing is gonna reach out to my band and it's gonna enumerate the bands that are in this room, hoping there are not too many. So now would be a good time, please.
You know, it worked like 40 minutes ago.
It did.
Of course it did.
You know what? I think I'm going to do a little restart of that app just in case, if you don't mind.
Well, that's coming up. How many folks here have actually played with the CDS before?
Oh, that's great. That's a good result.
That's actually not bad. Come on, app.
This thing should be working. Come on. No, seriously, are there any other bands in the room? Down there?
Yeah, I don't know if this is going to go.
Damn it. Do we have a part after this? We don't, right?
We have a couple minutes. If not, let's just maybe talk through
here.
Yeah,
talk through and I'll go to the slide deck and I'll do something
here. All right, let's do that. You can still run up and down.
But that's not nearly as much fun.
No, it's not. Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. So anyone have any questions about the SDK? I saw that there were a few people there who had actually used it while I do this. I'll be very happy to take questions about it. In fact, why don't I just log on here in the meantime?
You know, that demo works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, let's just flip over. Do you want to do the sign in there? And let's just jump straight forward here and show some of that code.
Yeah, exactly. That was what I was.
What you would have seen is Peter was going to run up and down the middle of the room, and then his blood pressure was, his heartbeats per minute was going to actually go live. And at the end of that, we would have uploaded the results to the common data service via the Azure function. So we'll pretty much jump right into, pretend for a moment, the data got uploaded to the common data service. And that wasn't the CDS on the phone, by the way, right? That was something else.
Okay, all so right. let's go there. So what, in a few seconds. So what you have here is the code that would actually be run in your Azure function. So what you see there is the run method that's gonna be hit. You see here some C# code. It's actually C# script for reasons that I won't go into because that's how it works. So what happens is that we send over this payload of all the biometrics that have been collected. I then create something called an inserter, and I insert all the metrics in the CDS environment, and then I do an execute async. That's all it takes. It really is as simple as that. If you have the data there, it's three lines of code to actually do this work. It's really very, very easy to do. And people ask us a lot, what is the, why do you invent another SDK for this? Isn't this just like Link? But no, it isn't. This is a business API. There's a lot of decisions that we have made, for instance, about the chattiness. You'll notice that we add all these records and then we do execute async once. So there's no chattiness, there's no insert this record, insert this record, insert this record. It's all serialized once and sent over the wire and done in one transaction. So there's a lot of benefits to that SDK that we are that we're using. If to hell with it, this is gonna work.
Come
on.
Right. End of day one, that's just what happens. And while we're giving that one more go, the takeaway here, going back to that common data service part, the platform itself provides the data movement capabilities, right? From a customer point of view, you configure the common data service. You tell it what data you want to bring in from Dynamics 365. Later this calendar year, we'll support third-party sources as well. Your app just acts against that data model. You're not having to understand where that data came from, right? It's in there. A record is a record. And so that's one of the powerful things here. We've separated out data movement and data sources from the actual application and the logic that's required on the part of the apps. Any luck there, Peter?
Yeah, just keep talking, dude.
Keep talking. Okay, so and I mean, the other thing I'll also mention, it is in preview right now, so please do reach out to the Power Apps blog. That's where we have the link for the preview program enrollment. Record level security, as I mentioned as well, is also in preview. That allows you to set policies based on ownership, so allow people to read, write, update, delete based on I own this record, as well as pick lists, status of orders, status of the various things on there. And we are adding later this quarter, support for hierarchies, business units, the things that are very common to business applications, right? Those constructs that you are familiar with if you've ever played with a lot of those CRM and ERP systems out there. And again, just to kind of go back to this, Power Apps Flow and CDS play very well together. Power Apps and Flow just know how to use the common data service, and Power BI also knows how to interpret the data model that lives in there.
Yeah, that's the big advantage of this thing, right? You have this data that you collect from disparate sources, you add it into this one big sea of data, and then you have this enormous amount of tools that can connect to it and reason over it and do all sorts of good stuff. So it seems that my band is actually broken. That's a new one. Let me see if I can just...
Let's give another 30 seconds, and I guess we'll just kind of wrap it up, because I know folks want to get over to the expo, I'm sure.
No, they don't. So this would be a great time for it to work, right?
It will work right now. That's
okay,
how it
all right, let's do it. I'm going to press right there. It's going to take a few seconds. It's going to reach out. And...
Yeah. You mean flip over and show the common data model itself? Let's do this, because I want to make sure we do get questions of folks in. Let's wrap this up, and we can absolutely take questions and do that at the booth as well. I just want to make sure we have enough time to cover all the topics. We're not good here, right?
We're not good.
Okay, sorry about that, you guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'll keep staying here. Oh, thanks. But I've seen this demo. It's pretty kick. it's very good, and I'm going to volunteer Peter to record this video demo later.
Okay.
We should share it with the group. It's a super cool demo. So tying it all back together. So like I started in the beginning, right? So all these apps and folks like you as ISVs build, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that, hey, we get more users and hopefully better business outcomes. So I started off with the very top in terms of saying, how do you get access to those 100 million plus users that we have across our portfolio? And with that, and then we walk through saying, what else in the platform are you able to use? So I'm going to do a quick commercial break for Peter's demo, and then we'll be back.
Right. Could you take it over on one, please?
Was that?
Sure.
This is a very interesting demo.
All right, so you can see my pulse right now is very high. I had a little bit of issue going through this. So let's pretend now that that we're playing cricket. And as you know, cricket, there are wickets here and there. So Maybe you can go to the, swipe it so we go to the speed thing on that thing. There we go. Okay, so let's do this. So I'm gonna have my wicket here, I'm gonna touch that, I'm gonna run down here, touch there, come back.
You're not running fast enough, buddy.
So let's record this and see what happens. So at this point, it'll deteriorate. What I'm gonna do now is I'm gonna authenticate against Active Directory. It's gonna happen sort of now. I'm collecting all this data, I'm sending it over to CDS. It's gonna come back and say that it was authentication happened, the sending happened, and this is the actual data that was stored there. Now, in order to prove this, I created a flow. So, let's see, that would send me a mail. Here, congratulations to your workout. It's not a great mail, but it's a mail, nevertheless, that was triggered from the fact that we inserted into CDS. So remember that's the big advantage of this, right? All these tools that we describe, all the power star things work on this. And I'm so glad I finally made it. I had to reset my band.
A big round of applause for Peter.
Thanks, guys.
All right, cool. Thank you, Peter. So happy that worked out. So coming back to the thing, tying it all together, right? So we started with the fact that, hey, across all of our, we have about 100 plus million users across all of our Office 365, Dynamics 365, Power Star Suite services. And one of the key things is, as ISVs, how do you make use of that opportunity? So like I said, the min bar for you to get into AppSource is to enable AD Federate SSO. Obviously, just being on AppSource doesn't make you successful right away. You know, building compelling applications, building great applications, and that's where the test drive framework that we announced as public preview today comes in very handy. And I'll show you exactly the walkthroughs, et cetera, that we have published. The second thing is, obviously, just having an app, building a differentiated app is what really makes you stand apart with all the other apps in AppSource and in the marketplace, right? So that's where the integration pieces, as Tessa called out, around Flow, Power Apps, et cetera, become super, super important. Folks like Verypark, there's a lot of examples. If you want to see some of the featured apps on AppSource, you'll see best practices in terms of how these ISVs are using our stack, not from a technology perspective just because of, you know, it's great tech, but more importantly saying, how are these actually solving business problems for my users in a different way or in a way that I was not able to solve it before, right? So definitely everything I showed you, you can go try at home, right? There's no special demo scenarios, and that'll be a great learning experience as well. The third thing is enrich your app experience with embedding Power BI and Power Apps and Flow. This is one of the most commonly used scenarios for SaaS ISVs. So if you look at Verypark, that whole administrative view, branch manager view, is essentially a bunch of embedded Power BIs, Power BI charts and analysis. So that's, again, another great way for you to have rich analytics in your app. The way you do it is Power BI embedded, but from your end user perspective, it's just wonderful analytics and insights. And the last part is obviously, you know, how do you make your app smarter with customer data from various sources? I think what Peter and Jonah showed is a very cool demo. But obviously, from a business user and business process perspective, that's pretty powerful. If you have inventory data that's sitting in your ERP system, your customer data or vendor data sitting in CRM, and your calendaring information sitting in Office, think about what you'd be able to do if your app was able to leverage all of these data, disconnected data pieces today, and build compelling scenarios. Free your data. So that's what is super this thing. And you know, from a personal perspective, I've been in the business application space for about 10 years, and it might sound like I'm a bit biased, but being an ISV, building on our stack and integrating with the cloud, there's never been a better time to be an ISV, right? And the reason why I say that is if I'm an ISV out there building a great application, trying to get in front of these users, and more importantly, if you qualify for the co-sell and co-marketing efforts, the 50,000 people that we have in the field can obviously help you make your app successful. So it's definitely a very compelling opportunity from a business perspective. And obviously, you know, once you decide to build, it's a great set of tools and platforms and services that we have that is available to you. Now, one quick thing that I skipped was obviously if you have a finished app, you can go to AppSource. There's list an app there. Somebody on our team will basically reach out to you and guide you through once you're ready to do that. However, you know, there's a lot of apps that are not there yet, right? So you're trying to figure out saying, hey, how's the best way I use Flow, Power Apps Embedded? How do I do AAD enabled? So launching today, we have this ISV website. It's accessible from the azure.com website. So you can go here. It essentially brings it down to So if you go to azure.com, okay, we'll just go back to this guy. Okay. So it's a website. So if you go to azure.com and you just click on, you know, Azure for SaaS, essentially it walks you through how do you enable AAD, right, which is that min bar to get access to AppSource and be on AppSource. The second thing is how do you integrate and extend your solution. So everything that we showed you here, all the way from how-to documents to videos, et cetera, is all accessible there. And once you're ready for some action, ready with your application, how do you get on AppSource and what happens later? So this is that site that you can reach out. Everything we showed you is there. And once you hit contact us there, let's say you have questions, you don't know what to, where to start, et cetera, that also comes into one of our teams and we work with you to help you get to that endpoint and more importantly, get you more successful, okay? So with that, we'll take Q&A. Thank you for sitting through the whole session. And more importantly, we'd love to see you guys on the other side as a live application on AppSource or using our platform pieces. Okay, with that, we'll take Q&A and have these guys come up. Thank you. Oh, yes, and I'll get into trouble if I don't say this. Fill out the evaluation form, please.
And there's a microphone right here. If you want it to be recorded for the session, please step up to the microphone.
And if anyone wants to hold the cricket bat, you can do that, too. Yeah.
And we'll be around after the session if there's kind of one-on-one questions that you guys would like to have as well.
I think the beer is
the beer is calling.
It's the beer versus the questions.
So you did mention that you have this test drive framework that allows you to install, I believe, this add-ins for Outlook or some things to the Dynamics.
Yes.
So where we can look on that and how it looks like.
Yes, so if you go to appsource.com and you click on the blog, today we posted a blog around how to enable the test drives and the public preview. So it's on the AppSource blog that was published today.
And it, like, can you install something to Office or to Outlook, some add-ins? Is it
so, yeah, today it's essentially, you know, you could have a SaaS service that has a Dynamics add-in and potentially an Office add-in,
yeah.
Right? It's all one application. We show you how you can do that, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
So in content data services, is that a copy of the data that's stored there from all the different applications?
So you're talking about when we move data from Dynamics 365 or other services into the common data service?
Yeah, common data service, yeah.
So basically what we do is we do synchronize that data in. So it is a copy that we will bring in and we refresh on a regular schedule. And so there's some limitations around how you can use that data, at least initially, it'll be read-only, because the scenarios we want to focus on are extending, right? Users building new applications, generating new data. But it is a copy that we keep there, and we keep that refreshed.
And does it have the capabilities to do encryption at rest?
I'm sorry, encryption at rest?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, all of our data in the service is stored encrypted at rest. We don't have client-side encryption or things like that, per se, but in general, our data is secured.
And then from the encryption keys, can you bring your own encryption keys? So if you're developing a SaaS app and you have multiple clients, they can manage your own keys?
No, that's a fair question. We don't currently have bring your own key capabilities for CDS.
Okay, thanks.
You bet.
What's the data latency on the CDS?
What is the data latency? In which scenario you mean?
If I'm bringing data from Dynamics, for instance.
Yeah, so the way that this actually works is when you're setting up your, we call them data integration projects, right? That's how you define the source, how you want to map it into the data model. So you actually specify the frequency of refresh. So as you go through, you select your sort, your connections, you specify the template, and then you actually say how frequently you want that to run. And so that's actually a configuration point that you have as a customer.
Okay, and you are going to support third-party data sources? Will that level of control also be available?
You mean the ability to configure the frequency of the sync? Yeah, that framework in general is there. Just to be clear, the third-party data sources isn't there yet. We're doing that this year.
Yeah.
When it lights up, that refresh, that scheduled configuration is available, will be available.
Thank you.
I think we have a question.
So it sounds like it's later this year, but with third-party data sources, could you say a bit more about how that kind of flows into the ecosystem and how that could actually be available to other developers?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way the Common Data Service works, at the core of it, is an extensible data model. Actually, Pratap alluded to this. We have about 75 entities right now that come out of the box. We'll have a couple hundred by the end of the summer. You can do a couple things with that. You can extend that to your heart's content. As an ISV, you'll be able to programmatically define that data model and shape it. And so when you've done that, you can configure that data integration project, which brings the data in. Once it's there, and I mentioned this in the platform overview, it's just a security question. Who should see what after that, right? So our data movement will bring it into the data model, and it's secured as you decide, either as an application or an admin. From that point of view, any other app potentially has access to it, as long as that user has access to the data. Is that what you were asking about?
Yeah, I think so. And when you guys talk about building out the first-party data model even further, what are the types of entities that you would be adding in there?
Yeah, that's a great question. The ones we started with, the ones we had right now, are very much sort of sales order, invoice, and that. We're adding a bunch for human resource, human capital management, project service, sales. Those are the ones coming online. We're also adding some for campaign marketing management and such. Later this year, we'll be bringing in productivity entity sets, so calendar events. We're targeting things like documents. So really, actually, one point to mention, a lot of our development priorities are based off of feedback from customers as well. And so open offer to folks here, you know, find us. We'll grab time, like we were talking about earlier, right, Olivia? We will find time and walk through your scenarios to understand what's important, and we can order those. But right now, we're still fairly heavily focused on that, sales, business process, and HR, HCM.
Cool, thanks.
You bet.
So does CDS have connectors for Power BI, Flows, and
So the answer is yes, but I'll answer that slightly differently as well. You don't have to do anything to light up Power Apps, Power BI, or Flow with CDS. You literally go into Power Apps, you say add a data source, the common data service is available there. With Power BI, same thing, you connect to your environment. So there is actually a connector that it actually uses to talk, but there's no work required on your part as an application developer to enable that connector. It's just there out of the box.
Okay, so and then you will be connected to Graph API, like Microsoft Graph?
No, so the Microsoft Graph is a slightly separate thing from the Common Data Service. I need to draw you a picture to show maybe some of that if you want to find me afterwards, but it is, for right now at least, a separate entity. We're doing work to make it make more sense for our customers so we can present a single API surface. But for right now, the Common Data Service and Microsoft Graph are peers. They do slightly different things, but they're peers.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
One of the interesting things also to mention when this gentleman mentioned graphs is that we think a lot in the ERP space about data storage being relational. And we do this because we've been, you know, weaned onto that thinking for 50 years since Codd published his work in 62. Or 69, whatever. Anyway, so, but that's, today that's not the only kid on the block. Today we have lots of other ways of representing business data. If you have lots of data and you want to work with the relationships between them, then maybe a graph database is a better approach. There may be cases where a document database would be a better approach. And this is one of the promises of the SDK that I just showed you some of, is that the relational model is by no means the only model. It's just one model. And we are working on Graph as well so that you can have, you know, millions and billions of nodes with the relationships between them and reason over them and traverse these graphs in interesting ways. So that's another really strong point about the SDK that we didn't mention.
That's true.
So we'll be hanging out here if you have any more questions. But thank you very much for attending, and have a great rest of the conference.
Yes, enjoy.
Thank you.